18 years doing it on the radio and the TV side for 7 or 8. I can't remember anything quite like this.
No, I can't either.
30 plus years.
No.
Here we go again. Who would think we would utter words like that? That's Joe Bowen, Jim Ralph at the conclusion of tonight's game. A 3-0 loss, a 3-0 victory if you're a St. Louis Blues fan over the Toronto Maple Leafs. The road trip, they go 0-4, shut out in 3 of the 4 games, score only 1 goal in total in 4 road games against 4 very difficult opponents. As we welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. Gord Stelluk, Mark Osborne. We'll be here for the next couple of hours to dissect, interpret, hear from many of the individuals involved in tonight's game. Peter Horacek, head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, we'll hear from. And we'll also open our phone lines and always welcome our callers. It certainly is a time, a very different climate than Leafs Nation postgame was about a month ago. But it is the same numbers at 870-0590. Star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590.
Do we have to go back to the 53-54 season, Gord? And how did the Leafs do? Did they make the playoffs that year? Because that was the last time that Steve Fellin from Sportsnet was able to find that the Leafs have been shut out 3 out of the last 4 games. So we're going back now 60 years.
Yeah,
and that occurred.
And that wasn't a very successful phase for the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's when the production line was going strong for Detroit. The Montreal Canadiens were strong. But, you know, how about this one? This Steve Fellin's our stats wizard here. So the last time the Leafs had been shut out 3 of 4 games, as Ozzie said, was January 1954. And as he says, here's the eerie part. In the 53-54 season, the Leafs were shut out in games number 44, 45, and 47 of that season. This year, they get shut out in games 44, 45, and 47 as well.
So that's what I mean. Is it eerie? Is it coincidence? What are the odds of that? It doesn't matter. We're looking for material, right? Because you've kind of been on me a little bit of my negativity of late.
No, I have not been on you about your negativity of late. Don't give me that crap. I'll tell you right now, things like the highest scoring team in the NHL for a major portion of the season, and 241 plus minutes that a forward has not scored a goal. Okay, we're talking 4 complete games, and that last goal was an empty netter against the Columbus Blue Jackets late in the third period.
Well, yeah, and I think we're grasping for things here to not only dissect this team. We've questioned the team. You know, this past week is there's been a lot of chit-chat about trades and what this team needs to do, the rebuild, and it goes on and on and on. And yeah, I mean, this team right now is in a whole lot of hurt as far as just their identity and how to play. And while they have made some efforts defensively, the offensive game has basically disappeared. And I'm not sure what to look forward to or what the prognosis is moving forward with this group. You know, as positive as coaches in the change, well, you know what? The guys who did not like playing for Randy, well, you got what you wanted. And mm-hmm. and now, obviously, the onus is on this team. I don't think they're going to look forward to coming home. This can get even worse as they play Carolina on Monday
well,
evening.
Well, of course, you were the wizard who said it was a great time to go on the road, Ozzie. Wow, that was good. I hope you bought a Proline ticket that day. Gosh, great time to go on the road. Now it's Harry Neal had that line about when he coached the Detroit Red Wings and got fired after about 30 games and said that they couldn't win on the road, couldn't win at home. He couldn't find a place for his team to win.
I think you take me out of context. I said, what a great win it was after the Columbus game that you get to go on the road
yes.
with a new staff and actually get away from you know what was happening that week. There was all sorts of focus and things said, and I just simply said it would be good for this team to get away from it all. I didn't mean to actually get away and forget how to score goals.
Okay, you know? Sorry. That's my grade 12 law degree coming out, the class I took at George Vanier Secondary School. I'll tell you, it's interesting. We talk about this, the Brian Burks. He's in Calgary now, but he's left us with so many words like truculence and other things like that. But the 18-wheeler going off the road. And as we said, we've seen it 3 seasons now in a row, a late-season swoon where the 18-wheeler goes off the road. 2 years ago, it was a Game 7 in Boston, so it was a good season. It was just a one-game diversion that way. My thing right now is I think they're in the wrong truck. I don't even know what to compare. I just think they
what
got
kind
in the
of
wrong
truck are they driving
well,
right now?
Not the same one they were driving 5 weeks ago. It's like they got up one morning and they all got in the wrong truck. So it's not off the road. It's just like they're in a whole different truck and they don't know how to drive it.
Must have been one of those Land Rovers, right, that these guys drive. It could be. They're not in a Ford F-150.
I don't know.
Like, so like Wendell would be driving.
But you know what I'm saying? And as Joe and Jim, just that 30 seconds, they're trying to articulate it. You think you've seen everything. And if you're a Leaf follower or a Leaf fan, you know, you've seen a lot of things. This one, I couldn't believe there's something new I would see when it comes to losing. And I think this is new.
Yeah, no, it is. And again, as we look at this team, we dissect it, we come up and jump to conclusions. I mean, the only thing that we can come up with is again, the pushback, the fight, the determination. And it simply is not there as a collective group of 20 for an extended period of time. There's bits and pieces. I mean, you could say the first period, and I told you this after the first period, the Leafs outshot the Blues 15-13. And I said, wait a minute. The Blues, that wasn't a very good period for them. They turned the puck over far too often. And what did I tell you? I said, the Leafs will be lucky to get 15 the last
and
two
you were
periods.
Wrong. And you were wrong. They only got 12.
Yeah, okay. So case in point, you know, they're banged up, but they really can't find themselves. And again, I told you, this is an easy team to play against because you simply, when they're not scoring goals, you just got to take care of that top line. And the top line went through this entire four-game road trip, bagels across the board, all four of them.
Yeah, I want to remind you, so our phone lines were messed up for a sec. We got them in order now. If you want to give us a call, 870-0590, *590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Operators standing by now at Leafs Nation postgame. And you talk about the big line, James Van Riemsdyk -3, Tyler Bozak -2, Phil Kessel -2. Constant theme. I know plus minus isn't everything in this world, but they're not scoring, and they're on for a lot of goals against.
Well, you know, and of course, advantage goes to the home team, and they get to match up against that particular line in general. And tonight, they were up against the Oshie, Steen, and Backish line, who accounted for 5 points amongst the three of them. The last two goals, an individual effort early in the third period by Alexander Steen. And by the way, was he not an up-and-coming Toronto Maple Leaf draft pick that had captain written all over him and all that kind of stuff.
And that remind me
of that trade again.
Okay, the trade was because they wanted to get what is a right-handed shot for the power play in Lee Stempniak.
Who was that? Who came up with that one? Was that Ron Wilson?
Cliff Fletcher was a general manager. Ron Wilson
Cliff
was
made
the coach.
That deal?
Yeah, okay. About a month before Brian Burke came on board, and it was
Koliakovo.
Carlo Koliakovo,
right. Two first rounders for a guy that scored 27 goals 1 year. 2 years before that.
Well, exactly. And, you know, it's the old thing about getting rid of young guys, which is always a fear and danger. But I know in talking to Wendell, for example, he was there at Wendell Clark. He finished when Steen was just starting. Mm-hmm. And he just said that he thought when Matt's left, he would be the center. He thought he was the second best center after Matt Sundin back then.
Yeah. And you know what? When you look at this organization and you're starving for leadership and we're crying over spilled milk because it doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, you know, what we're truly talking about is looking forward to the callers and how you're going to answer some of their questions.
Well, let's get out there. Let's see where are we going to start. We'll start in Cambridge tonight. Here's Bruce in Cambridge. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, guys. You know, I just wanted to say quickly, this team is completely flat with the exception of, you know, like Winnick showed up tonight. It looked like JVR was trying to poke something in there, just make something happen. Morgan Rielly was doing his game. Those guys, it was the guys that don't get a lot of attention. They were trying to make something happen. Roman Pollock, they were trying to get something happening, but if you don't have your top line going and it's flat, there's not much where to go where I can just say, like, I think it would be wise to have just, like, a yell at the team tonight and say, look, you know, you had it before. We're on a new wave. We're supposed to be on a new way to doing things. What do you guys want? Just to get that voice in there. You know, like it's something's got to be done because this team does have talent. It's been shown.
Thanks for the call, Bruce.
It, right?
Well, you've been in the dressing. Well, you've been in the dressing room, Mark, about the yelling. I don't know. You have to do those, say, few and far between. They have to land and resonate with the players. And I don't know what you can do in that way. I sure hope no one's down there congratulating them after the game for the effort.
Well, remember the new way and approach of Peter Horacek is to give and have these periodic weekly meetings. I think with your leadership group. That won't happen tomorrow because it's a scheduled day off, right?
Right.
So rewarded for with a day off tomorrow, and they'll get back at it on Monday.
Okay, but wait a second. Yeah. Are they being, you say, I know you're saying rewarded tongue-in-cheek, but also, in a way, are they being rewarded for playing this system? I mean, a lot of people, at least after the LA game, were happy about keeping the shots down. They kept it down to 33 today for the St. Louis Blues. So even though they're not winning on the scoreboard, are these positive strides or not?
Well, again, Gord, I mean, being rewarded or being complimented for some of the things that I look at and say, well, those are givens. Like, we're going to pat them on the back to say, and by the way, we've cut down on the chances. I think you could take solace in that and give yourself, congratulations. We're not giving up 40 shots and we're not playing a, you know, trading chances type of game, which is easy to do. That's the easiest part of hockey. Come on, let's be honest. But again, the thing that you can't push your team to do is there's a puck in the corner. Okay, who wants it? Who's going to go get it? And you've seen evidence tonight of the way teams in the West, again, St. Louis Blues, how often that they were quickly battling in their own end of the ice. And the Leafs had very little zone time, and that's just because of their aggressiveness without the puck and their compete factor. That's what it comes down to. We may have, you know, some talented guys. You know, we still don't have enough competitive edge to the game.
Okay, that aside, mm-hmm. which isn't a lot to put aside, the Toronto Maple Leafs have arguably played the four best teams in the NHL, or four excellent teams. These last four games, are they better suited now for when they host Carolina on Monday, for when they play the majority of other teams, the bulk of the Eastern Conference teams, and especially at home?
Well, it remains to be seen. I would think that their odds of succeeding against lesser teams would have improved. But again, I think, and you're kind of laughing at me, you think it's going to be enjoyable to be back home with what they've just gone through? No, I'm just saying.
Okay.
Now, you laughed at me when I said that it's going to be good for this team to get on
correct.
The road. How do you
correct.
Think they're going to feel coming at home on Monday night playing against Carolina if they happen to get behind? What do you think the first thing's going to happen?
Well, then maybe they
happen?
Should get ahead. How about that?
No,
how about a novel thing? Score a goal.
No,
yeah. You know, you can do that.
That certainly is. But again, this team that you're facing, there's no easy games. And if you've even seen it with a team like the Buffalo Sabres, which have a pretty good record against the Toronto Maple Leafs, but there are no just gimme type of games. And so when I see Carolina coming into town on Monday night, I see a team that's 5-4-1 in the last 10 hockey games, have given up fewer goals than the Maple Leafs, are getting some injured guys back into their lineup. So what's to suggest that this is going to be an easy night and all of a sudden this defensive system that you've employed, we're going to win on Monday night and get ready for Ottawa.
Well, I was articulating with you in the third period about our year together. Well, we were together more than one, but the year when I was general manager, I call the glory year. I'm kidding, but anyway. But the year about it and the struggles then and about just trying to stop the bleeding relative then. And I mentioned one thing is almost you have to hit rock bottom.
Start hitting somebody else and dropping the gloves or doing something. Have we not seen teams in the last week
exactly.
react to things?
No, exactly. And I was going over some of the things then that just get back on track. It didn't produce any miracles.
Don Cherry did a great thing in between periods where he showed what happened and how teams reacted to say Patrick Kane getting leveled. The gloves were off. Brent Seabrook came in there. And same thing with, in that game between Winnipeg and Chicago, where one of the Blackhawks drilled one of the Winnipeg Jets and jumping in right away was Peluso and a great fight against Bickle. Against Bickle. That was it. So, again, there's there's being engaged and showing some life. And this team right now appears to be lifeless. Yes, Roman Polak, he tried to generate something when it was 2-0. And did you see Naz's back check on Oshie?
Like, yeah.
Basically,
I mean, no.
Might as well have given him a ticket through the neutral zone because he made no effort on the back check. But I'm being too hard.
Well, we will come back. Chris Johnson can be hard. He can be liberal. He can be sympathetic. Hey, whatever. He covers the Leafs. He covers the National Hockey League, about a lot of things. And he'll join us. We'll also hear from Peter Horchek. We'll take some more calls a little bit later on. But not a fun way to end the road trip. A 3-0 loss to the St. Louis Blues for the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're back at it Monday against the Carolina Hurricanes. We'll be back at it with Chris Johnson when we return. Gord Steldick, Mark Osborne, you're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand, absolutely free. It's your postgame workout. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Polak plays it down into the corner. He has competed hard here tonight, taken some chances, and now here's a 2-on-1 going the other way. Looking for Oshie, scores! Alex Steen sets up Oshie.
Well, TJ Oshie with his 12th of the season. That was the third and final goal for the St. Louis Blues, a 3-0 St. Louis win over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Welcoming you back to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Steldick, Mark Osborne, joined by our regular guest and friend, Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca. And again, you write the words the whole world reads, whether it's about the Leafs or the National Hockey League or many other things that are going on. And this road trip, it's, again, perspective is a tough thing to keep. They're great teams the Maple Leafs are facing, but the best team offensively in the National Hockey League has one goal in the last four games, well out of the playoffs now. Maybe put in perspective your thoughts as they come back to face the Carolina Hurricanes.
Well, I mean, pretty stunning. Even as good as those teams are, that it's been, I think, 70 years now since the Leafs have been shut out in 3 out of 4 games. I mean, not what you'd expect, no matter who's coaching, no matter what style is being played, no matter whatever's happening, no matter how good the opponents are. In this case, obviously that was a factor in what's happened here in these last four games for the Leafs. But, I do think sometimes hockey has some bounces and luck to it, and the Leafs didn't get any of that. And then, you know, right now I'm sure they're doing a lot of soul searching because it's difficult when you feel like you're doing the right things, but you continually get the same result. In this case, no results. And, really now we're facing a season, half a season, a little bit less than that, where the Leafs, I think are clearly out of the playoff spot. And now I'm not sure what they're playing for. It's going to be an interesting next little stretch here.
Yeah, Chris, you know what? I don't want to bring up last year, but, the disappointing part of towards the end of last season, it appeared as though the team just simply mailed it in. And again, give them credit in that first period, out shooting the Blues, generating a bunch of scoring chances as a result of the Blues uncharacteristically turning the puck over far too often. And yet at the end of this road trip now, and they've only got one day in between when they've got to play on Monday night, I'm not sure, this team being so dejected, what do you think their approach is, I guess, as far as Monday night's game goes?
Well, I think certainly they would take that start again. I thought the Leafs did a really good job early in St. Louis and forcing a lot of those turnovers. They had some scoring opportunities there and obviously didn't cash any of them in. And, if they do that against Carolina, I would expect they're going to get better results. I mean, let's face it, I think their shooting percentage in all four games is something like 1%, which, not to make this too much about numbers, but you're not going to do that any team. The Oilers, the Sabres, the Coyotes, the worst teams in the league don't do that for any prolonged period of time. I wouldn't expect the Leafs will either. So, I do think that the tide will turn here, but it's going to be interesting to see kind of as reality, I think, is going to hit home about, where they're at and how they basically try to pull together and play out, this next little stretch of games.
Well, and you mentioned that. That's the one thing we'll have to wait and see on. And that's, if you want to call it a silver lining in the cloud, maybe that's not the right expression. But I look, let's face it, this is a road trip that in the NBA used to be what those triple towers in Texas, when the three Texas teams were dominant, and you went on the road there and you were very lucky to get one win out of it. And I'm just saying, I said to Ozzy earlier that, okay, four games like this against four of the strongest teams in the NHL on the road, if it makes you a better team for the Carolina Hurricanes than others like that at home, that would be the positive. But we'll have to wait and see on that.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, one of the four teams Leafs just played win the Stanley Cup in June. You know, I know Chicago will probably have something to say about it, possibly Pittsburgh here in the eastern side of things. But, I mean, those are literally the top teams in the league. I mean, San Jose is probably a little notch down from the other three, but they played that one, you know, in a back-to-back situation, three and four nights. So we probably could have looked ahead to the schedule back in October and predicted that this was going to be a tough stretch. But, you know, the fact that they made the coaching change, I think, ahead of this, a lot of it was, you know, trying to get a quick turnaround, trying to get things moving the other way. And, you know, I do think the team played better. I mean, I don't want to sound too much like a broken record, but, you know, the fact they didn't get the results, I just wonder, you know, what the mood of this team is going to be now, because they put a lot of effort into those games and really come back with nothing. And, you know, now they've lost 12 of their last 15, and it's going to take on that 18-wheeler type of feel again, because let's face it, a lot of the core guys on the team have been around for each of the past four seasons, which have had stretches like this that have really, you know, hurt their chances.
You know what, Chris, I read an article that you wrote and suggesting that maybe this is a possible good time to consider at least trying to move James Reimer, save a little bit of cap space with that particular decision. Now, as this team continues to squander, and you got to think that there's been a lot of talk around here while you guys have been away as to where does this team go? Where does Brendan Shanahan make decisions based on this personnel and moving ahead with this core group of players? Is there anything to suggest, or have you been led to believe that unless there's a drastic change, we're not really sure what lies ahead for the Maple Leafs in general?
No, you know, I think, you know, the most important priority here, Mark, is for the Leafs to create some cap flexibility heading into the summer. I mean, they really are up against it with Bernier, Nazem Kadri, Mike Santarelli, David Booth, you know, Cody Franzen is a UFA. There's a number of decisions to be made with players, and I think that they don't have much money really right now to contemplate doing that. So I think, you know, the shorter term goal, meaning anything you do before March 2nd, would I think mostly be designed around not so much a full deconstruction of the roster or anything like that, but getting rid of players who are making, you know, salaries and not bringing back, you know, salary that replaces it. But just so I think that you have a little bit more room to play with. And that's, you know, that was a lot of the point I was making with Reimer. Is I think it's fairly clear at this point that Bernier is the guy they've chosen, and Reimer is still under contract next year at $2.3 million. I just don't think you want to pay your backup that kind of money, because I do think Bernier is going to be in line for a pretty good raise here. So, you know, he's one guy to start with. I think Joffrey Lupul has to be looked at. If there's anything they can do with David Clarkson, I mean, I'm becoming more and more of the belief they have to buy him out, even though that's a huge hit. It would be 10 years of basically some dead money on the cap situation. But, you know, I do think they have to start getting proactive here, and that's going to likely be the decisions before March 2nd is what can they do in the short term to make the summer easier. And then I think the summer is when they're going to make big philosophical changes. That's when you might see them, if they want to move out one of the big boys or do something a little bit more drastic.
Chris Johnston of Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, joining Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne on Leafs Nation postgame here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. When you came over to Sportsnet, one of your first big stories was about Ryan O'Reilly signing the offer sheet with the Calgary Flames, and the schmozzle that was there and that you had uncovered, and could have been actually even more catastrophic for the Calgary Flames back there. Ryan O'Reilly became a very rich man out of it. Nick Kyprios was talking about him being a guy, for a number of reasons, the Avalanche are floating out there. He says the Leafs are one of three teams he knows of talking about such a move. How do you think the Leafs could make such a move? What should they look at giving up to get him if that's going to be the case? I mean, do you throw a Kessel and JVR or something in a bigger deal that way? Or what about getting a guy like this who right now has a pretty big nut?
Yeah, I mean, the toughest number of all of them for Ryan O'Reilly is the fact he makes $5.75 million already. And, you know, he's a very good player, very sound defensively, two-way type of centerman, you know, the kind of thing that's prized in the game. But, you know, he's going to be a big cap hit for a team. So if the Leafs make that move, you know, I'm sure that's what they're wrestling with, is, you know, because it goes beyond this contract. It's what are we going to have to pay him to keep him? And it's going to be a lot of money. And then is he an impact enough player to be making, you know, more than $6 million at some point down the road? And then, you know, in terms of what they give up, you know, it's tough to say. I would think Colorado, where they're at, you know, I know that they would like to get a player back. I mean, I do wonder, the more I watch, is if Jake Gardner might be getting to a point where they consider making that move, and whether, you know, I think Colorado, one of the weaknesses that team has, is on the blue line, might be enticed to take him off the Leafs' hands. You know, I'm not sure entirely what's being discussed specifically in this deal, but, you know, I think it's going to be a tough one for the Leafs to make, just because as good as Ryan O'Reilly is, you know, you're not getting him for the cheap years. You're getting him as he moves into his expensive years. And I think really what fans have to understand, whether they like or embrace the salary cap or not, is that essentially, in the simplest terms, you're going to have a few players that are overpaid. It's just part of the system. But you have to have as many that are underpaid if you do that to be successful. And will Ryan O'Reilly be one of the guys the Leafs have to overpay to have on their roster? And is that worth it? I mean, I think that's sort of the analysis that's probably going on right now, in addition to those discussions.
Yeah, you know what? The only thing I would suggest, Chris, in that discussion, I brought it up with, you know, Gord, is if, in fact, you know, the Leafs would be interested in a guy like that plays a two-way game. I know he's not that abrasive, but again, when you look at all things being equal, and I'll, you know, float the name out. You mentioned they're going to have to sign Bernier. What about Cody Franson? But what about Nazem Kadri? And Nazem Kadri, for all intents and purposes, is it a Tyler Bolzak? You got to think that one of those guys, if they consider bringing in a guy like O'Reilly into the fold, it's going to be one of those guys, I think, that will be moving down to Colorado. I rather doubt, with the likes of Tyson Berry, Eric Johnson, Holden on the back end, that they take another offensive defenseman off of our hands. But, again, we're just speculating. It's always good food for thought, and certainly keeps everybody interested as to what's going on in the world of the trade, as the deadline will be approaching at some point.
Well, and, you know, Bozak might be an interesting name. I mean, to me, the Leafs would be crazy to move Kadri at this point. I know he's sort of a hot-button guy, but, you know, he's 4 or 5 years younger than Tyler Bozak, and I think, you know, just the way it goes now, managing your roster and everything, that Bozak, to me, is more of the sort of player you would look to trade if you're the Leafs. And obviously, he went to the University of Denver. He has a lot of ties to that area. You know, maybe there's a fit there. You're right. I hadn't thought of him when you asked the question. But to me, he's one of the guys that, even to the previous question, leading into March back, and if the Leafs can move, I think they should. Just because, you know, it's a bit of a retool that's going on here. And I'm not sure he gives you the value that for his contract. And, you know, he signed still for another 3 seasons beyond this one as well.
Well, a little bit of a diversion, Chris, in that, like you broke the Ryan O'Reilly story a couple of years ago. Also, in November, you were talking about thoughts that the World Cup of Hockey could be returning, and I guess some more traction on that. What's the update about this coming back? And please tell me there'll be a new trophy.
I don't have any word on the trophy. I would think there would be, though, because the last one didn't play very well publicly, Gord, to your reference. That weird one, even when Canada won it back in 2004, they didn't really quite know what to do with it. But, you know, next weekend at the All-Star game, it will be confirmed that the World Cup's coming. I mean, you know, we've been reporting on this for a couple months now. It's going to all be played here in Toronto. It's going to be an 8-team format. Two of the teams won't be sort of countries, quote-unquote. One will be a European All-Star team. It still sounds like one is going to be sort of the young guns team. And, you know, there's some controversy about that around hockey. I get it, because, you know, one thing we saw at the recent World Juniors is there's more than six countries. So the main six that will also be fielding countries in the event that can compete in hockey. And, you know, the Switzerlands of the world have come a long way, for example. I'm sure they want their own team, you know, and others as well. But, you know, I think it's going to be a good event, having it all here in Toronto in September 2016. And we'll get a few more of the details, even probably some things we haven't out there yet. But best of three final. And, you know, just another chance for players, I guess, to throw on their national team sweaters and two others to do something different. And we'll see how it goes. I mean, they're trying to resuscitate an event, essentially, that's been on hiatus for 12 years. It was once the Canada Cup. They played it a couple times as the World Cup. And I think they want to get it more regular. So it's something that maybe there's a little bit more prestige to and that fans are accustomed to and players are as well.
Well, and of course, you'll have it all on sportsnet.ca as we'll keep our eyes tuned to that. Chris, thanks very much as always.
No problem, guys. We'll talk Monday and maybe we'll have a few more Leaf goals to dissect.
I hope that's the case. Chris Johnston from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca joining us as always. Before we go to break, come back, Ozzy. It's time for the Tip Top Tailor Player of the Game. The Player of the Game is brought to you by Tip Top Tailors. It's all about style. Tip Top Tailors, your menswear shop.
Well, Gord, you forced me into this, adding insult to injury in a game where the Leafs get shut out once again throughout the last four hockey games. And the guy that came back and did it to them was Alexander Steen, a great individual effort to score his 15th of the season early in the third period. And then what a great pass to TJ Oshie for the solidifying third goal for the Blues. So former number one and future captain of the Maple Leafs, Alexander Steen, is the Tip Top Player of the Game. And I think he remembers where Tip Top Tailors is.
I would
here
think so.
In numerous locations here in the greater Toronto area.
Yeah, you know something, ever since you changed the rules and don't have to pick a Leaf anymore, they've gone south. Now, of course, it would have been tough.
Oh, really?
This whole
That's
road
when
trip.
It started, eh?
Yeah. It would have been tough this road trip, though. Who you would
I
pick?
I picked James Reimer the other night.
Well, there you go. Okay.
In San Jose. So, how about that? In a losing effort. So, it simply.
Probably be Brian Papineau tonight or someone like that. So, anyway, no, Alexander Steen, that's for sure. Well deserved as the Tip Top Tailor Player of the Game. When we come back, we'll hear from Peter Horacek. We'll also update the out of town scoreboard. And more, lots more coming up. Not a great night again. The Toronto Maple Leafs lose 3-0 to the St. Louis Blues. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand.
Go through losses and you've got injuries and people stepping up and people get frustrated, you've got to be count on every single guy and your leadership group to step up, and that's what we're going to do.
Leaf head coach Peter Horacek after tonight's 3-0 loss to the St. Louis Blues, as we welcome you back to Leafs Nation Postgame. Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne, of course. Leafs Nation Postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. Want to hear the rest of what Peter Horacek has to say?
Why not?
Why don't we hear the rest of what Peter Horacek has to say? Here he is, the Maple Leaf head coach.
You know, there's good first period. You know, we're not capitalizing on our opportunities. And, you know, as the game goes on, they start pressing a little bit in the third period. And obviously, they get the 2-on-1. And, you know, some of those things were unfortunate for us to look at and say that shouldn't have happened. And, you know, even their first goal should never have happened. But, you know, we have to just get through this tough time. So we're going to have to rely on leadership to step up. We're going to have to buckle down. And, you know, there's some positive things in the first period before they scored that goal. I mean, we're out shooting them. I think it was 15-6 or 13-6 at that time. And then they went on a rally after that of about six shots. Now, there's a mental letdown. That's the part where our team has to be the strongest now, is we're going to have to be mentally tougher to get through tougher situations like this. So, you know, when you go through losses and you've got injuries and people stepping up and people get frustrated, you've got to be count on every single guy and your leadership group to step up, and that's what we're going to do. So,
how much of a difference do you think playing at home will be?
I think it'll be really good. We've been on the road a lot. You know, we've been on that whole stretch, and it's been pretty dynamic for us being on the road. We went on that stretch right after Christmas, and there was five games and seven nights. and we came back and played two quick ones. We, you know, the coaching change was right at that time. And we had that game against Washington and a really good game at home. You know, kind of we had to go back on the road again. But, you know, we can't use this. We can't find reasons and make excuses. We understand that this, the being on the road in these situations are tough, but we can't, you know, look anywhere else except we're going to have to get down together. Our leadership's going to have to step up. We're going to have to prepare them and prop ourselves back up like we have before. And we came back out. I think the guys are very prepared in the first period. I think our first period was really well other than them scoring a goal. And, you know, their fourth line came out and, you know, worked and got a goal. And, you know, that set them off into a good positive situation.
Did you like the way you guys took away the puck, turnovers, and transitioning the other way to give you a chance?
I think that that's was really good trends. And when we look at things and we say there's some really good things, it's hard to say that's a good thing when you're, you know, at the end of the day, we're losing the game. And that's the end of the day. It's about wins and losses. But, you know, there's things the guys are pushing and asking them to do that they're doing. So, you know, there is some things we can say that's a positive. And eventually it's going to start going in if we stick with the plan and stick with it. But, you know, we as coaches don't want to lose. Players don't want to lose. I think we'll all get together and do something about it. If we get down on ourselves, there's no one going to help us to get back out of it, right? So as a group, we're going to be strong and we're going to get ourselves back out.
One thing that's going to happen when you get back to Toronto is all the white noise is going to amp up. People saying blow up the team, here's trade rumors, trade speculation. Are you ready for that? Are they ready for that kind of level of craziness?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really affect me. I try not to. I tell them not to pay attention to it. And, you know, some guys are going to do what they do. You know, they're going to listen and they're going to look at it. But as a group, as a coaching staff, we're going to say, listen, this group in here has to stick together. So if you listen to all the ramped up noise that's going to happen when we get back to Toronto and affect you in a negative way, that's not going to help the situation. All you can control is your attitude and your preparation and your gameplay and your practice play. So if you can come in here and work hard and bring a good attitude to get ourselves back out of this and get on the win board again, get on the win column, that's what we can control. We can't control what people are going to say or what they're not going to say. So as a group, we have to stick together.
Yeah, the craziness off the ice here. How does it compare to the craziness on the ice? Like, seriously. Come anyway, Peter Horachuk, he's been articulated quite extensively and been up front after all the games, and all but one of them, unfortunately, been losses.
Yeah, you know what? And he mentioned the fact is that they've been on the road a lot. They've only got the one home game coming up on Monday. Then they go into Ottawa on Wednesday. They've lost 8 of 9 on the road. The only game, if you can remember, was the shootout win in Boston. And by the way, 13-4 were the shots the last period and in overtime, and taking some good positive things. But he talked about the leadership group. You know, this leadership group has to lead us. And I only pose the question to you and saying, who is the leadership group? Who has clearly defined the leadership group here? Is it the guys that wear the C and the A's on the team? You got one of the A's that is a healthy scratch, and he's only played 2 out of the last 6 games, I do believe. Or maybe he played the first 4 for Peter and missed the last couple.
And right? Stefan Robida, yep.
Okay, so Joffrey, they've got to find another. It with, you know, Joffrey's hurt. You know, Tyler Bozak. Don't look at one in Tyler being a guy who necessarily is going to be verbal or a strong candidate as far as leadership. But anyways, again, kind of, you know, picking at straws. But again, the key for them is do the things that you can control. That's your attitude, your work ethic, your preparation. And this is an incumbent upon the big boys. And the focus is going to be that the heat's going to get turned up when they get back here. Let's face it, Monday morning, the heat's going to be on. So they better get ready. And they're the only ones that can change it. They can't be skating with their lips on the ice. You know, oh, they'll get skated on, right? And so, yeah, this is the real, you know, testing time, I think, for Brendan Shanahan. What he did a number of weeks ago in letting Randy Carlyle go, I mean, I think it's been turned up again very, very quickly, sooner than I think he anticipated.
Well, I think so as well. And, you know, David Boland, this is piling on now, but That was one of David Boland's criticism. He felt it was a dressing room that lacked leadership. He was very disappointed in it.
Oh, David talked about that?
Last year. Okay. Yeah, he absolutely did. And it was after winning Stanley Cups with the Chicago Blackhawks. He felt there was a void here. And as you say, it is showtime. And here's your chance against, if you're better prepared now for not the creme de la creme like you faced the last four games, this is your chance to start showing it on Monday and trying to write the season, and let's see if the playoffs can take care of itself, but just try to get back on how you're capable of playing and playing to that level and see where the chips fall.
But has leadership effectively led these last four games on this particular road trip when push came to shove? And I know that Brendan said, you know what, we probably have a better chance making a change going into this road trip, right? That would at least pay some results. It was going to be very difficult, but the end of these four games, are you pleased the way that this team has generally responded? Or, again, have they gotten let off the hook? And, again, Peter Horacek has to give them an opportunity or give them an easy way out because he can't yell at them. Randy did a lot of that. And, again, you know, you only have so many opportunities, I think, to really address your team in a verbal sense. He's not yet had to do that, but yet you know, again, we'll wait and see how the reaction is come Monday.
Well, we'll get to chat more about it. But to me, the leadership void showed a lot last year when nobody stepped up at the end of the season to stop that bleeding.
Okay, so what's changed? What's changed?
Evidently not a lot.
And that's why I'm saying that this core group of players, you have to make some changes. So
okay, I'm going to lead us to a break, okay? I got to take charge here. You can't keep commandeering the show and going off your wing and not back-checking. We got to pay the bills. We're going to come back. More Leafs Nation postgame. A 3-0 win for the St. Louis Blues over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Breaking down the game in a fanatic, obsessive, bordering on unhealthy manner. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcoming you back to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne, a 3-0 shutout loss for the Toronto Maple Leafs at the hands of the St. Louis Blues. Of course, we're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. Busy evening. There were no afternoon games, so lots of action going on. We'll take a look at our out-of-town scoreboard, brought to you by Bergmanis Pereira, Ontario's most referred personal injury law firm. Visit us at bplawyers.ca.
Where do you want to start, Gord? Let's go to Boston. Earlier this evening, this can't be right. The Blue Jackets defeated the Bruins? Yeah, it is right.
It is right. It's correct, yes.
Okay, 3-1. I thought, did I have the right date? But in fact, it is correct. They go into Boston, snap their five-game winning streak. The goal scorers for the Blue Jackets, Johansson is 17, opened it up in the first period on the power play. And then Matt Calvert, two goals in the third period to ice the win for the Blue Jackets. Carl Soderberg, his 10th, was the lone goal scorer for the Boston Bruins.
And Philadelphia Buffalo, this can't be right. I'm just doing this to cover for you a little bit so you don't look so. Okay, no.
I was surprised, a little bit surprised.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, you just got to read it. Philadelphia 4-3 winners over Buffalo for the Philadelphia Flyers. They were down 1-0 but came back. R.J. Umberger with his 8th, Mark Streit with his 6th. Chris Vandeveld with his 4th, Michael Raffle with his 12th. And for Buffalo, you got to love the name, Zemgus Girgensson scored twice. He now has 13. And Tyler Ennis is 10th in a losing cause.
I got to give this one 10 goal scorers in Montreal. What a great game that was. If you had a chance to look at that at the other on the other station.
I wish.
Okay, it was 6-4, the Montreal Canadiens victors over the New York Islanders. Let's go through the Islander scores. Kyle Laposo, by the way, 4 goals the other night. He gets his 14th tonight. Nikolai Kuhlman, his 9th. Anders Lee, his 12th. And John Tavares on the power play, his 20th. for the Habs. Dale Weiss gets goal number 6. Thomas Plekanec gets 2 in the night, goals 12 and 13. Alex Galchenyuk, goal number 11. David Desharnais, goal number 7. That was it. Dustin Tokarski gets the win for Les Habitants.
Well, Carolina Hurricanes are here on Monday, and they defeat the Ottawa Senators tonight.
So that's not a given. That's not a given, eh?
Maybe they'll be overconfident.
Okay. Sure. They've already won on the road,
right? 3-2 win over the Ottawa Senators tonight. Brad Malone with his 2nd for Carolina. Justin Falk with his 8th, and Nathan Gerbe with his 4th. For Ottawa, Cody Ceci with his 3rd, and Mark Stone with his 11th.
Who is Brad Malone anyways? You don't know either. Anyways, in Detroit, it's 5-2. The Red Wings defeat the Nashville Predators. How are the Preds doing without Pekka Rinne? Not very good, because their starting goaltender, E.F. Hutton, let in 3 goals in the first 4 shots. No, that's Carter Hutton, by the way. Anyways, it was Nyquist with his 17th, Kyle Quincy with his 3rd, Thomas Tatar his 19th before the goaltender was changed. Matthias Ekholm for the Preds made it 3-1 after 1 period. Then Detroit on 2 power play goals in the 2nd period. Zetterberg, goal number 11. Tatar, his 2nd of the night, goal number 20. How about that? Thomas Tatar, wow. 20 goals. And then Mike Fisher gets the 3rd period marker for Nashville. 5-2, the final. Detroit beats the Preds.
Yeah, and Carter Hutton, more nights like this, he'll be working for E.F. Hutton, I think, down the road. Tampa Bay, how about this? A 3-point game. Tampa Bay, 3-2 winners in a shootout over the Colorado Avalanche. For Tampa, Ryan Callahan is 15th. Anton Strahlman is 3rd. For Colorado, Ryan O'Reilly his 8th, and Nathan MacKinnon his 9th.
It only matters a 3-point play if they're teams that are both in the East, Gord. So the Leafs.
No,
really,
I knew that. I thought you
really
just
care about that.
I thought you would just let gloss over that for me.
And here's a 3-point game tonight too. Edmonton goes into Florida and wins the shootout 3-2. Scores.
Well, thanks for having my back.
For Edmonton, Eberle is 12th. Matt Hendricks, a shorthanded effort. Goal number 6 for him. Gabranson, goal number 2. Huberdeau, his 8th of the season. It was Nail Yakupov in the shootout with the winner. Victor Fast takes the win. Roberto Luongo the loss. But again, the Panthers gain a point on the Maple Leafs.
Well, here's the only break the Leafs get in the out-of-town scoreboard. The Washington Capitals go down to a 5-3 defeat to the Dallas Stars. For Dallas, Tyler Seguin. Who else?
That the game's over already?
No, it's in progress. Sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, sorry. They got a few minutes left in the third, but I'm calling it over. But it's not over. Okay, 5-3. Tyler Seguin is 27th. Eric Cole is 11th. Jason Spezza his 8th. Antoine Roussel his 11th. And Jamie Benn is 13th for Dallas. For Washington, Eric Fair is 14th. Andre Burakovsky is 6th. And Alexander Ovechkin is 25th.
Wow, he's gotten hot, eh? OV?
As ever, yeah.
Yeah, 25. That's pretty hot. Minnesota Wild, 3 minutes left in the 2nd period, lead the Arizona Coyotes 2-1. Lone scorer for the Coyotes, Antoine Vermette. He's got 11 on the season. I think he's the NHL's leading player as far as gone the most games without missing a game. I think he's up to over 500. Just a noteworthy item for you, Gord. Charlie Coyle, his 5th, and Jason Zucker, his 16th shorthanded. Not his 16th shorthanded goal, but his 16th shorthanded.
Understood. I think the listeners understand.
For Minnesota and just getting underway in Los Angeles. I think the game's been delayed because they're still trying to hang Rob Blake's jersey from the Raptors. The Ducks visit the Kings. And it's 2-0. Did you give that score, by the way, in San Jose?
Did not.
The Calgary Flames lead the Sharks. Weidman, his 11th, and Joe Colburn with a shorthanded effort, his 4th of the season, have the Flames up 2-0 with about 5 minutes to go in the first.
I hate to say this. The Capitals have scored a 4th goal.
I don't know.
It's 5-4 Dallas.
Okay. This game is going to come back to haunt you. In progress
in the 3rd period of play. We'll be breaking away from the network hour. We'll be coming back with another hour of Leafs Nation postgame on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and many of our affiliates. So if your affiliate happens to cut away, you can get us online at sportsnet590.ca. We're going to hear from Dion Phaneuf, Nazem Kadri. We'll talk to Bernie Federico, the Hall of Famer, and, of course, a broadcaster with the St. Louis Blues. Who else are we checking in with, Matt? Got one more person? Somebody? Seisberger, okay.
And I'm checking the score right now in Dallas. 2 minutes left. It's 5-4, so hold on to your seat, Gord.
Hold on to your seat and come back. Leafs Nation, postgame. brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Starlick, Mark Osborne, not a good night. A 3-0 shutout for the St. Louis Blues over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
We did a lot of good things, but the bottom line is we didn't win hockey games and we didn't get points. So it's about winning games and getting points. It was a huge trip for our team. We come back with zero, so it's disappointing.
Well, Leaf captain Dion Phaneuf, we'll hear a little bit more from him later on. The Maple Leafs shut out 3-0 by the St. Louis Blues. Welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame. Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and of course a Hall of Famer, St. Louis Blues great, and now part of their broadcast crew, Bernie Federico, joining us. How you doing, Bernie?
Gord, I'm doing great, thanks.
You know, want to talk about those Blues, but first of all, just listening to Dion Phaneuf, and you've been on good teams and you've had struggles from time to time in your career like everybody else as a team. And what did you think about the style the Leafs are trying to play under Peter Horacek? They're not winning on this trip, some tough teams, but they're trying to play a more defensive style, but not scoring.
Yeah, I mean, we all noticed it. I mean, it was actually a real good game. I mean, you know, when you take away the first goal, I mean, which Bernier probably should have had, the Shattenkirk goal, and all of a sudden you might have had a different game going into the third period. But I thought the Leafs did a really good job. I mean, they had the better of the scoring chances in the first period. You know, Ken Hitchcock, of course, you know, has that same style that Horacek wants, is, you know, it's defense first, and then you worry about, you know, getting your opportunities because of it. But, I mean, the Leafs had some good, you know, scoring chances. They had some odd man rushes where they didn't even get any shots on goal. But, you know, it's a process. And, you know, it's a system you have to believe in. And I think that when you look at the Blues, if you go back a few years ago, you know, they were pretty porous. So they didn't do a very good job defensively. And you know, over the course of the last couple of years, they've learned that style. And they actually play, you know, defense first, and consequently, when you're a good defensive team, you're going to get some chances. And when you've got a lot of talent, the puck's going to start going in. And that's what's been happening for the Blues.
Bernie, a former Maple Leaf, Alexander Steen, a goal and an assist, and a fantastic year last year, 33 goals. And I believe he missed part of the season due to injury last year. And again, maybe off to a bit of a slow start to start this season. But that line in particular with him, Backish, and Oshie, they've been very good of late. What's Alexander Steen meant to this organization for you guys the last number of years?
Well, you know, let's put it this way. The Blues are really lucky that they were able to get Alexander away from the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's been absolutely outstanding. I mean, it's not just the way he plays. I mean, he comes to play. He sees it, he's like an old pro. You know, the game is important. He works his butt off in practice, and, you know, he's a great leader out there, but he's just a great person too, and I think that's the special part about everybody wants Alexander Steen to do well, because he's such a personable guy. He'd do anything for you as well, and he's the leader in the locker room. When he's firing on all cylinders like he is right now, I mean, he's one of the toughest players in the league to play against, because he's so strong on his skates. He sees the ice so well, and that line that is going right now. I mean, that was the Blues' best line last year. You know, Steen, Backes, and Oshie. They always are matched up against the top offensive lines on the other teams. And, you know, Mark, you know as well as anybody, is that, you know, when you're a top offensive line, you're going to give up a lot of chances. You're more concentrating on offense. And when you're playing against a line that's strong defensively, that's got some talent on it, like Steen and Oshie and Backes does, when they do their job checking, they're going to get chances. And when you've got the talent they do, the puck starts going in. And, you know, Steener had a great year last year, scoring 33 goals. They had the concussion. And I think that he didn't have the same drive right off the bat this year. And you know what? It's a long year, 82 games. And I think he's kind of been pacing himself a little bit somewhat, some of the team has. And they've played well. They've had some of the young kids really carried this team for the first probably 30 games of the year. But now, you know, it's the Steen line now. He's the leader. And the way he's firing right now, you know, he's got all the team playing with confidence. And that's why they're winning games. But, I mean, I you can't get me to talk enough about Alexander Steen. He's just a tremendous, you know, professional.
Bernie, another one. And I hope in this trade, with Roman Polak sticks around a lot longer in this particular deal, Lee Stempniak did for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And certainly Polak's provided an edge and bite the Leafs have needed. Carl Gunnarsson tonight, watching him play, I'm trying to evaluate how his play plays, but I said to Ozzie, everyone moves the puck so quickly from the defense, it's almost hard to hear their name called. It seems like he's fit in really well.
Yeah, you know what? We're just starting to see how good he is. I mean, you know what? The transition game of this team is very good. I mean, the Blues defensemen moved the puck very well, and I think one of the big reasons that they wanted to get Gunnarsson was to play with Shattenkirk. To you know, Shattenkirk is marvelous, you know, offensively, and you know, Shatty's really done a good job, you know, coming back from the off season. I mean, he really recommitted himself with his conditioning and getting stronger, and I think he's really concentrated more on his defensive game than he ever has. But I think Gunnarsson has been a perfect fit. I mean, this is only the 22nd game now that, you know, that Gunnarsson has played tonight. You know, he came after the, you know, hip surgery, didn't play for the first few games, then he had the concussion, you know, a few weeks ago, and was out for another extended period of time. But the more we watch him play, I mean, the more we see how poised he is. You won't see anything really flashy out of him, but he's really steady back there, and I think he's a steadying factor for, you know, for Shattenkirk as well. So right now, I mean, that trade really bodes well because he's a left-hand shot. Shattenkirk's a right. You know, with Roman going, you know, I think the physical presence that the Blues miss from Roman is noticeable, but I think to get a top four defenseman in Gunnarsson with a left-hand shot has really fit in well on this hockey club.
Bernie, I want to ask you this question, and I'm doing simply out of comparison because I look at a guy like TJ Oshie, and then I, you know, look at Phil Kessel, for instance, and obviously with Kenny Hitchcock going to the St. Louis Blues, I want to ask you if you've seen a maturation, a progression in, say, TJ Oshie, the way he played the game prior to Hitchcock coming, and now to see where he's at right now, you know, going down, blocking shots. Has he always been that way, or has it been a bit of a transformation in his approach to the game as being part of what it means to be a St. Louis Blue?
Well, I think for the most part, I mean, he's had that reckless abandon in his game, you know, from coming from college. I mean, he's a raw talent. I mean, he plays with you know, all kinds of energy all the time. But I think that under Hitchcock, what he's learned more about the game is about playing north-south. He's the type of guy that wants to play east and west. He wants to beat the same guy three or four times. And I think he's changed that part of his game. But, I mean, he's always gained the block shots to be involved physically. You know, he's like the money out there all the time. And I think that when he's out of the lineup, the Blues really miss him because of that energy that he provides, you know, not only on the bench, but every time he's on the ice, because he really plays every shift like it's his last shift. And, you know, he had a real slow start to his season too. And, you know, over the course of the last three or four weeks, like Backes and Steen, they seem to have found their way again. And, you know, again, he's really a crowd favorite. TJ Oshie always has been from the time he's come here. And I think that actually he has matured an awful lot. I mean, he's getting married. He just had a little baby this summer. So, you know, again, I think just being a father now has you know, made him much more mature, and you know, his all-around game, I think, has really benefited from it.
Well, certainly a great times in St. Louis. I know going deeper in the playoffs cuts in your golf appearances, but I know it's a gladly something you will sacrifice as an excellent golfer. Bernie, I always enjoy catching up with you. Great memories when you played, and more great memories of the team you're broadcasting now. So thanks for dropping by.
Gord, my pleasure. You guys have a great night, and you know what? The Leafs, you know what? They'll get it yet, though. I really like what I saw tonight. And, you know, again, they're still trying to find their way, and I hope they do, because I think Toronto really dearly needs to have that again. So does the league.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks very much, Bernie Federico, joining us from St. Louis. Back more with more Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. The game is the meal. We're the after-dinner drinks. Pour yourself a cold one. Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Kadri couldn't get it out. The centering effort is into the far corner. The final 8 seconds ticking down. Long shot blocked in front. Backhand there by Reeves was blocked. It is still free. Cleared out at center and that's it.
Well, even Joe Bowen, a little that spark gone at the end of the game tonight. 3-0 St. Louis Blues victory over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
When do we get to go over my keys? Because this is hour number two, and you know, I want to make sure you don't forget it, but I know we've got more.
Hey, how about we do it hour number three? We all go home and you just do it. Your keys
I'll
have been
call
great.
You. I'll call you on the way home on my
great.
Bluetooth. Maybe I can go over them with you again.
Sounds like no one's listening to your keys. If a key falls in the woods and nobody hears it, is it really a key?
Oh, Canadian content, eh? Bruce Coburn. Does anybody care?
I don't know. That's, you know, when we look for somebody to make sense of it, well, it's not Mike Zeisberger. I don't know who we try to get, but Mike Zeisberger is as, talk about Joe Bowen and Jim Rutelik, Ralph talking about how many years and seeing so many different things with the Toronto Maple Leafs. And Zeis has been around for a long time as well, covering the Leafs and the NHL for the Toronto Sun. He joins us from St. Louis. How you doing, Zeis?
I'm actually not in St. Louis. I'm kind of glad I'm not.
Aren't you in? You must be in Seattle. You got to be covering the NFL this weekend.
No, I'm. I did the Rex Ryan gig, and obviously, even he's off the. He told me this week, even he's off the Leaf bandwagon. maybe that's because I'll give him a mulligan on this one, okay, guys? Because the guy that just gave him. That $27.5 million deal over 5 years also kind of owns the Buffalo Sabres. So, you know what? Don't bite the hand that feeds you $27.5 million.
People forget Rex Ryan. You know he lived in Toronto. Did you know that, Ozzie?
No, I didn't, Gordon.
Yeah, he did.
What was he doing here?
I'll tell you something. Buddy Ryan's ex-wife came up to Toronto to be a teacher.
Yeah, and, professor at U of T.
That's right. So I went to Woodbine Junior High, and a son named Jim Ryan, who's older than Rex, he's not one of the twins, went to Woodbine, and he had a Jerry Philbin and Matt Snell New York Jets jerseys because Buddy Ryan coached the Jets when they won that Super Bowl. He was like a line coach. And we had no idea who he was, whatever, but the kids were up here in Toronto for a couple of years. So that's not good news because Rex was in awe when Daryl Sittler called him. He loved that because he remembered those days as a teenager. So what, even Rex Ryan's off? Is it because he's a Buffalo Sabre fan or does he really mean it?
I think it's because he's getting – his new boss owns the Buffalo Sabres, so.
Okay, well, that's.
Although, if he watched this road trip, I don't know.
Okay.
You know, they talk about Rex having problems with creating offense, but you know what? I mean, even Geno Smith put up more points than the Leafs have on this road trip.
Well, the one silver lining, and I'll start with that. Could be a silver lining.
I have no silver linings, Zeis, just to let you know.
I got a lead lining.
Okay, well, that's good. So this will be the only silver lining. I just said 4 games on the road against arguably 4 teams that could win the Stanley Cup. So if you play a style against these teams that makes you a better team for the Carolina Hurricanes and the majority of the NHL, especially when you play at home, then that's a positive. We won't know that until starting Monday. Otherwise, what do you make of the whole bit?
Well, you know what? I've said this all along, Gordon. I've said it on your show. I wrote it back when they got beat cumulatively by 15-4. Systems and styles and puck possession are fine, but we've seen problems with this core group that cut much deeper than that. We can go back to Salute Gate. There's plenty of instances that we've seen this. And, you know, guys being labeled as uncoachable, it's just been a circus. And I will go back to what I've said all along. How many coaches and how many GMs are you going to go through before this core finally is recognized as not being good enough? And I don't mean that by talent, okay? I think this team is a lot more talented than, say, the teams that maybe Ron Wilson coached. But there's something amiss here, and I don't know. I mean, I think we have enough body of work here to make that assessment, okay? And, you know, I mean, after the game tonight, Dion Phaneuf was asked if the Leafs core should be blown up. His response was, you have your opinion, I've got mine. Bottom line, we haven't won games, so we're fair game. Well, that might have been the most accurate thing that I've heard the captain say in a long, long time.
Yeah, Zaz, you know what? That's been the talk of the town. And by the way, Gordon was not involved in that talk because he's been on the injury reserve list for
a few days. I missed one game. I think a lot of listeners wished I missed more games, but I just missed one game.
You know what, Zaz, I echo the same sentiments. And, you know, it sometimes is hard to really go there and deal a dose of reality. But unless Brendan Shanahan and Dave Nonis decide to change this core group of players that that are part of your higher paid guys, things are not going to change around here. This has to be a rebuild, and obviously it remains to be seen what ends up occurring in the near future. But I think that they've already spelt it out of the type of players or team that this group is in general. Unless you make a change in that direction, I don't think things are going to change either.
Well, and you know what? I mean, were we not led to believe that? I mean, we were told by Brendan Shanahan that they all went in, that he went in and Nonis went in and told the players, okay, we'll be watching you. And then they, the executives went on this road trip. Well, you know what they watched? And I understand Gord's point that these are all four legitimate Stanley Cup contenders. They watched two goals in four games. It has been more than 282 minutes, which equates to more than 14 periods of hockey since a Maple Leaf forward has scored a goal on an opposing goalie. Now, I mean, you know what? I don't care how stifling your defense is. That's just not good enough.
Yeah, here you got the, again, Joe and Jim, as we said, Joe and Jim talked about ever seeing this kind of situation before. And I haven't either. I've seen worse, probably. This is just different. The best scoring team, the highest scoring team in the NHL, the Toronto Maple Leafs, for a good chunk of the season. And it's all great about 5-5-5. Now just can't score. I mean, that's the part that's baffling. I've been involved or observed teams that just couldn't score, period, over 80 games, right? This is really, really strange. Goals are very hard to come by, and the Leafs found a recipe to do it, 40 shots against in all. And that's the part that I'm really finding baffling of late.
Well, and when Roman Polak is starting to become your biggest offensive weapon, I mean, in the first period tonight, he may have had a couple of their best chances. The warning light should go on. And here's the other thing that really, really, I found very befuddling. In the second period alone, the Toronto Maple Leafs had two separate two-on-ones and a three-on-one and failed to register a single shot cumulatively out of those three plays. Riddle me this, Ozzie. How does that happen?
They went back and started watching some of our old tapes. Zai's, you know what? Yeah, it's a team that's obviously very fragile right now. I told Gord that when they won that game against Columbus, I thought getting on the road was going to be a real positive thing for this group just to get away from here. But, obviously I think they've made some strides as far as at least willing to do things in their own end of the ice. And at the end of the day, I think the Leopard certainly doesn't change his spots. Do you think after listening to Dion's comments tonight, looking and watching at some of the facial reactions of the players on the bench, are we at a point right now, Zai, where you think that the players are now waiting for something to happen as far as a personnel move?
Well, from the outside looking in, I would say yes, but I mean, I would throw that back at you, Ozzie, as somebody that's been played in this league and been in a situation like that. I mean, guys say all the time, you know what, we don't listen to the white noise and that, but you played in Toronto. I mean, isn't it impossible to to tune all that out? And isn't there a point where things, when things aren't going well, that guys start looking at each other going, you know what, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when?
Well, you know what, absolutely. You can't tune out the white noise at all in today's generation, today's game, the social media, all the stuff that's going on. It's all around these players, and I know we can, you know, read into various comments that have been made even internally by the players out of frustration, you know, like a Roman Polak who is new to this organization and yet came from a team like St. Louis, where you look at their leadership core, whether it's a David Backes or an Alexander Steen, and, you know, the give a rip meter registers there in that dressing room and here, you know, as far as leadership goes. I think at the end of the day, they've done some an effort to try to change, but there has been like zero emotion. You know, have you seen any emotion out of this particular group on this road trip? And, you know, guys like even David Clarkson, you know, wearing 71, he's been very, very quiet and absent, which is even more surprising and disconcerting, to say the least.
One of the only times I saw any energy, and I'm not condoning that that's the way that's going to be the recipe for success, but in the latter stages of the game, after I believe it was after the Oshie goal, when Steen was celebrating and he said something to Holzer and Holzer took a shot at him. No, I'm not condoning that, but at least he looked, at least it was a sign of, you know, pushback. And I'm not saying, you know what, I mean, I'm not saying, we've seen more humiliating losses. These are hard teams to play against. But, you know, the lack of emotion, I think, is concerning as well.
I mean, we've looked at Boston. We've seen them respond emotionally. You watch that Chicago-Winnipeg game that went on the other night, and, you know, the Jets are now engaged physically and sticking up for one another. You know, I haven't seen that from this particular group from quite some time. A group that claims that they like each other and have got great chemistry within that dressing room. I'm just always perplexed and puzzled as to why it doesn't actually translate onto the ice with some of the things that I think is necessary to push back and at least show that you care in a manner that is incumbent upon you wearing the blue and white in this city.
Yeah, and here's the thing, guys. I mean, all of us, you know, you think, okay, they come home on Monday and they host Carolina and that'll be all and good. And then they go back on the road. I believe five of their next six games after that are on the road. And so it's not going to get any easier. And so you just wonder what's going on. You know, what do you do?
Well, I don't know. That's why we called you.
And by the way, that's not me sending you a text. And I took a little bit of offense to your comment saying this is Gord Show, you know, Leaf Nation, Hockey Nation. I never heard that that plug at the start that it was Gord Show. But anyways, I'm happy to be a part of it.
Wow.
Well, you should be.
Wow. It looks like our team here is coming apart as well. We're just eroding. We're like a two-man team.
What's happened to our chemistry, guys?
Yeah.
Come on.
Matt Brown, are you with me? You got to choose tonight, okay, one or the other. Are you with?
I got a no trade clause.
Yeah, you with Short Shift Osborne or Gord? Stick it out. I'll battle at Stellick. One or the other. Look at that. Playing hurt. I don't know. So what are you going to write about for tomorrow? Like seriously.
You know, I wrote just about looking at the core, and you know, we did a fan survey during the game on which guy or player that fans thought should be traded first.
Who's we?
As in the Toronto Sun.
Oh, okay. It wasn't me and you.
You think, the one where there's no infighting?
You think Zeiss is just a caller? He works for a paper.
It was overwhelmingly in favor of the captain. Hmm. Now, easier said than done. It's great for people to say, this guy's got to go. You know, I don't think he did himself any favors on that Alex Steen goal. I still think he's trying to look for the puck as Steen Dipsy doodled his way by him. But you know what? How are you going to move that contract?
Well, that's not our problem. Okay. But the other part is.
So and there you have the golden words of the former GM. It's not our problem.
That used to be my problem. Okay. I'll tell you what. Because the whole point is you don't start with get rid of. You can start with buy guys out. And I think David Clarkson, I think it's going to a foregone conclusion now that if things don't change dramatically.
I mean, Gord, isn't that a sign of the organization? I mean, they're just going to get Darcy Tucker off the books, and now they're going to get another buyout guy on
the books? I know. But anyway, I'm just saying that's one that it'll give you some flexibility.
Okay.
I think that's a no-brainer. But to get rid of Phil Kessel, get rid of Dion Phaneuf, get rid of whoever, you look for if you want to look for trades, that's great. And if you take, say, below Les Martin, like I'll look at the trade where Ozzie went to Winnipeg. Sorry to bring it up, Oz.
Wow. Why me?
Because you're right there. And Eddie Olchuk, Mark Osborne for Dave Ellett and Paul Fenton. Okay? Not really a good trade from Toronto's point of view. They weren't getting from strength at that point, but they needed a guy like Ellett on D. They just needed some defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they could get by without Oz. Eddie O hurt a bit when he was gone. But I mean, that kind of thing. I gotta give Floyd Smith a bit of credit for that kind of trade. Just saying we had to upgrade the D. You know, then you got a Bob Rouse came later, a Sylvain Lefebvre, whatever, bit by bit that way. I'm just saying that's what you look at doing.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree. It's easy to sit here and say, well, this guy should go, that guy should go. But you have to get some kind of return, back from some of these guys. And it's not, you know, as much as people would like to be, it's not fantasy hockey. You have to, you know, this is not a hockey pool. You have to find, number one, dance partners. And number two, let's not kid ourselves. Opposing GMs know what's going on in Toronto, okay? And they know that the pressure is being turned up. They know the public outcry is getting louder and louder, okay? And opposing GMs, like Gord was once, are like vultures just circling over. Waiting, saying, you know, hey, you need to make a deal. We'll make a deal, of course, in our favor.
I remember actually John Ferguson Sr. was GM of Winnipeg, and every time he called about a trade, I felt like saying, can you at least offer somebody who's on your NHL roster?
Was he the guy who pulled off the Chris Draper for the Pucks?
Mike Smith. Mike Smith was the guy.
That's because Drabes couldn't pass the MVO2 test at the time. That's why they got rid of him. So, anyways, guys, just a comment on perhaps a suggestion of what occurs in shaking up this core group or the eventual need to do something. And you mentioned, you know, who's going to take a guy like Dion after, you know, the survey that you guys did, that's the number one choice to move out of town. I mean, I would simply suggest, you know, the only guy of real true value. I mean, maybe there's two guys, would certainly be Kessel and James Van Riemsdyk. And I think there'd be a lot of teams that would take Phil Kessel based on.
I think there'd be a hell of a lot of teams that would take James and Riemsdyk.
Yeah, yeah, both of them.
Of course there are.
But
let's not lose perspective here.
But the only part of the JVR thing that's appealing to keep him here with the Maple Leafs is just his term and the amount he's getting paid. So when you talk about being up against the cap,
his age as well, Gordy,
he's a big guy, and I think you can still teach JVR, in spite of the fact he still is clueless without the puck in his own end, case in point on goal number one on Shattenkirk. I'm not sure what him and Tyler Bozak were doing if they were, you know, trying out for the Pan Am Games.
I just want to point out that maybe one of the reasons that JVR was that far back was because Jake Gardner was out near the blue line.
Okay.
Look, are we doing a roast here? whatever. It's been a tough night, whatever. I mean, yeah.
The Dean Martin roast?
Yeah. Well, I don't know what it is. But it's... I don't know.
Yeah. Anyways, it's all good food for thought,
guys.
And of course, the stuff that we, you know, sit here in
and
our.
If they win 5-0 on Monday, all will be right with the world, right?
Well, you know what? You're not far from wrong. But, you know, Zeiss, and I said this to Ozzy, after the Los Angeles game, I go into my local bank the next day, you know, had to get a few things done, run into other people. The teller at the bank, first thing, talks about how they held the LA Kings to a certain number of shots on goal. Even though they lost.
Yeah.
Like this, as tough as this place is to play in, it's also very easy, very forgiving. The bar is so low. people are buying into this particular system.
I just want to point out, and this is the ebbs and flows of life with the Toronto Maple Leafs, is that when they came off the California trip last year, if you guys recall, I think they swept the LA teams, and then did they win two or three?
Two or three. They lost in San Jose. They won Anaheim, and they won LA.
You know, there were people back then, when they came out of California, and that was post-Olympics, saying, forget about the playoffs. They could get home ice. And then they went on their 7 or 8 game losing skid. So that just shows you the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows. I mean, we're not even at the All-Star game break yet.
Yeah, I remember reading that article that you did write about that, too.
I got it here. I got a scrapbook of all of Zeisberger's articles. I'll try to bring it out
there.
Yes, I can read.
I meant Ozzy. I know you can.
Okay. Okay. Well, Mike, always appreciate it. And
hey, Gord, on a serious note, thanks for playing hurt.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Hey, Zeiss, by the way, who do you like in the games tomorrow in the NFL?
Well, first of all, Gordy, I just want to say you're the Bobby Bond of broadcasters, so thank you for, getting that purple heart on.
I'm the straw that stirs the drink.
You got that right. I got to say, Ozzy, Seahawks, with that defense against a hobbled Aaron Rodgers in that nut house in Seattle, I got to pick them. And you know what? I don't know how you go against Brady. I know those are the two favorites, but I foresee a Seattle Patriots Super Bowl.
Well, that's great, Zeiss. I'm right with you. And by the way, the only final comment I wanted to make when Gordy was making that comment about what it's like to play here when the Leafs keep the LA Kings to only 20 shots and he meets the guy at the bank who makes that comment.
He's a teller. He's a teller. When you go to a bank, they
show you. Maybe Gordy should have spent time at the doctor's office rather than go to the bank earlier this week because it probably would have been a little bit better for him.
Jeez, what time are you at Yuck Yucks on Monday, Oz? That's a good one. Jeez. If the Leafs weren't playing Carolina, I would try to go down and see him. But
anyway. Now, Gordy, you know that the guys – guys at Yuck Yucks that go Friday and Saturday, those are the marquee guys.
Well, that's why I said Monday. I know.
Kind of the...
Gosh, oh, boy.
That's where people come in from the cold and try to get warm. Okay. Appreciate it, Mike, as always. We kept you a little bit longer, but it's one of those moments, one of those times.
Ozzy phoned me before and said, Zai, stay on as long as we can get rid of Gord's voice. And we seem to have done a good job at that.
You know what, Zeiss? One of these days we're going to get you on after the Leafs win a game, by the way. Just thought I'd let you know that.
Okay.
I figured out Zeiss is the Eddie Haskell of our group here tonight.
Oh, yeah. That's a nice dress you're wearing, Mrs. Cleaver.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Theodore.
Thanks,
we'll talk
guys,
to you later.
And, listen, yeah. Gordy, all the best. Hope you feel well, buddy.
Thanks, pal.
Okay. Bye-bye.
My good pal, Mike Zeisberger, joining us, of course.
You're a good pal. Your show. What else have we got here?
I'm going to send Ozzy on a coffee run, and we'll come back. No, we're going to come back here for more of the principles involved in tonight's game. How's that sound, Mark?
That sounds awesome, Gord.
How's my voice?
Very thought-provoking. Your voice is sounding good, by the way.
Okay, good. Well, we'll try to get it through one more segment. 3-0. The St. Louis Blues defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand, absolutely free.
Welcoming you back. One more segment of Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. A night the Leafs lose 3-0 to the St. Louis Blues.
You know what? Looking at this standings, Gord, the Leafs are now 12 back of Detroit. Detroit won again tonight. And by the way, Detroit ranks number 3 in the Atlantic Division. Top 3 teams make it automatic. And that means 36 games left. And what does it take? How many points to get into the playoffs? 93 to 95? Around there. Leafs have got 40 7 points. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if they go 23-13, that gives them 93 to get into the playoffs. How do you like their chances to go 23-13 the final 36 games of the season? I'm just asking, just throwing that out there just for food for thought. We might as well bring some realistic thinking in to this process.
Well, it's not out of the question. It's doubtful, yes. Of course.
Anyways, that brings a little perspective, does it not? Now the that figures. You're only one game over 500 and it's going, wow, that's just shocking in some respects, right?
Well, we have analytics and we have Ozalytics. Mm-hmm. So there we are, Mark Osborne Analytics. And let's hear from the captain, Dion Analytics, the Leaf captain, Dion Phaneuf, after tonight's 3-0 loss.
The bottom line is we went on a road trip and we're going home 0-4. I don't think there's much more to sugarcoat it. Bottom line is we went on a trip and we are coming home with no points. It's unacceptable. We did a lot of good things, but the bottom line is we didn't win hockey games and we didn't get points. So it's about winning games and getting points. It was a huge trip for our team, and we come back with zero, so it's disappointing.
Getting a goal, what can you guys do better, do you think?
In what sense?
What do you have to do better just to not lose?
Well, there's lots of areas that we can improve on. We've improved on a lot of areas, but there's still lots of work to do. Bottom line is we've got to win games, find ways to win games, and right now we haven't done that.
Do you think you guys are close to doing it, though?
Yeah, we are. We're close, but close doesn't count in professional sport, no matter what league. So this trip is extremely disappointing for our team. There's no other way to put it.
You know what the Toronto market's like with craziness and all that. Because you are where you are, there's going to be a lot of talk about trade speculation.
That's
about
fine.
Breaking up this team. You're ready
That's
for that
fine.
When you go home?
You guys can talk all you want, and you have every right to. We haven't won hockey games, so you've got your opinion. I've got mine. But the bottom line is we didn't win games, so we're fair game.
Do you find the group was discouraged or Jonas, trying to find levity? Or?
Do you, when you go through stretches like this, like, I don't know what, like, I don't understand your question.
Well, I guess, like,
what's morale like?
What's the morale? It feels awful. It feels absolutely terrible. So I don't know what more I can say than that when you lose games, when you go through stretches like this, it's awful.
Can you at least point to the fact that you're starting to play maybe a better brand of...
Yeah, but the bottom line is you go home at the end of the night and you didn't win a game. You go home at the end of the night and we didn't win a game in four on a road trip, so... Yeah, we can draw on positives. We will draw on the positives, but you're asking me how I feel, and I don't feel very good.
Well, you know what? When push comes to shove, I mean, it's tough to answer those questions night in and night out. You would agree, Gord.
Absolutely.
That it's not a fun position to be in as captain of this hockey club. I don't know what the expectations are on how to respond in a verbal sense when it comes to even – acknowledging some things. I mean, I don't know if you're trying to lead Dion much like Phil Kessel was led earlier, you know what I mean? To make matters even worse when they do come home and have a dose of reality. But morale is terrible. So, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to go back into my career and think about how possibly for extended period like these guys are feeling now. Is this an all-time low for this particular group in general? I don't know if it's gotten to that point yet. It kind of feels like it for us because of, you know, the reality of us just overanalyzing to such a degree with this, you know, same core group. It's not the sum of the parts that you added to this group, because I think you're getting effort from those guys. It's still, again, the real issue focuses upon, you know, the likes of the leadership group, of which Dion is the captain and need to be held accountable. And like you said, we're all fair game. So I think in some respects, they're almost anticipating the eventuality of things, something being done.
Well, it's the recency effect. It's the most current one. You know, there have been many other dark days. It's just, I mean, they've only made the playoffs once since 2004. There was one lockout canceled season, of course, in 2005. But when they fell short for a number of years, quite often they fell short near the end of the season and had a bit of splurge at the end, but were well out of it and was kind of expected. What's been different now for 3 out of 4 years is this playoff spot home and cooled out after 50 games. Mm-hmm. And the last 32 dictating a team that seemed a cinch to be in the playoffs. And there is that stat that if you're in the playoffs by American Thanksgiving, like only about two out of 16 change at that point. And the Maple Leafs have been one of those two now, it looks like, 3 of the last 4 years.
Yeah, you know what? And I can't put myself in any position or situation, or even going back to the teams that we were a part of in the late 80s, early 90s, where at this juncture of time in the season, I think you always had optimism. And even if you go back to the 21-team league, I mean, your chances were better. But in today's game and three-point games and all that kind of stuff, I mean, the likelihood now is remarkable on the kind of run that you have to go on.
Yeah.
And it seems more and more unlikely that this team is capable of doing it, no matter how well they play defensively. It is just a hill that continues to get steeper and steeper with every losing game.
And to give the late Pat Quinn a lot of credit, you know, they made it every year he was coach. They made the playoffs. Every year he's coached, they made the playoffs, and it was a 30-team NHL.
But did they make the playoffs that first year of the after the lockout, right? After Sidney Crosby went first overall in the lottery, I don't think they made the playoffs.
No,
and that was his end of his.
I guess every year
tenure,
he was general manager.
Anyway, but one of them.
That's correct. But anyway, it was a 30-team NHL, so they have done it in the quote more modern era. So tape wise, we've got who should we go to next? What do you think? What's next best? Bernier? Nazem Kadri? Let's hear from Nazem Kadri.
It's obviously tough to deal with and a little frustrating, but we're also doing some good things, and some of those chances, if they go in, it's a totally different game, but we got to find a way to end up, you know, putting them in the back of the net. We're running some hot goaltenders, but it's really no excuse. We got to find a way to get traffic and get a couple greasy ones.
What's it like when you come back to the bench after getting another chance and not seeing it going? You guys had it.
It's tough. It's really tough, especially early on. I mean, I don't think we've had many more quality scoring chances or shots to this date. So, I mean, sooner or later, those got to go in. It's just a matter of when.
You got the start that the team wanted in that opening period, at least prior to the goal. I mean, it's you were attacking well and trying to capitalize on turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, I think we played really well. We came out and executed the way we wanted to, and I think we outplayed them in the first period, but then they got some momentum from their power play and whatnot, and obviously scoring that first goal. Up until that point, I mean, we were all over them. We could have had a couple goals easy, but like I said, just, you know, running into some hot goaltenders, having trouble scoring, but 3-4 weeks ago, you know, 3, 4, 5 of those would have been in the back of the net.
Now, I know you guys have said, you know, the right things about just trying to stay upbeat, doing the right things, but is it getting to you at all? I mean, 15 losses.
It's tough. It's frustrating. Nobody likes to lose. I mean, effort's there. We're trying. You know, we're not quitting. We're definitely giving teams all they can handle. But at the end of the day, we got to find a way to close out these games and find ways to put pucks in the back of the net and keep them at ours.
Feel like you're close to getting where you want to be?
I feel like we're really close. Really close. I mean, we're playing with some more structure. These are great teams, hard buildings to come into, and you know, we're limiting their scoring chances and you know, out-chancing them and sometimes out-shooting them also. So, like I said, it's goal scoring is a bit of an issue right now, but you know, we know it's not going to be a huge issue for the rest of the season.
What's been the issue in the power play, if you can put your finger on one thing?
Just struggling to kind of find the puck and get in zone and get it set up. I mean, once we're set up, we have chances and we're getting opportunities, but it's just a matter of maybe dumping a puck in and just outworking the other team and to get it back and get our setups. But usually when we can't get in the zone and we get a little frustrated, it starts to take momentum away from us.
Well, Nazem Kadri, always upbeat.
Yeah, you know what? Right, and maybe a guy that young that hasn't had the focus as a guy like Phil Kessel Because let's face it, the Bozak-Kessel JVR line has taken a lot of, you know, verbal barrage of late. And NASA seemed to go under the radar a little bit, even though I've been on him a little bit. And so with the youthfulness of that, that, you know, perhaps his focus come Monday night will be a positive one, where I think the heat, you know, will continue to be on the likes of Phil Kessel and, of course, Dion Phaneuf even more so. And based on, you know, us just talking to Mike Zeisberger and what the Sun has done in conducting a poll as to, you know, who do you trade? So now when that stuff starts to circulate, I mean, that again is the white noise that Peter Horacek is talking about. It's even going to get louder as these guys come back and they get off that plane and wake up tomorrow and begin their day.
Well, if you want to Google, I'll use Phil Kessel or Dion Phaneuf, trade articles. Go back a couple of years ago. I can remember that. Headlines. Is it time to move Phil Kessel? Is it, you know, all those types of things. So no doubt about it. It goes with the territory. And speaking of all that, tonight on Hockey Night in Canada, part of a regular intermission staple, here's a little bit from Damian Cox, Elliot Friedman, talking about potential trade concepts and rumors that are floating out there.
One of the teams we're featuring tonight is Toronto. Damien, a lot of news coming out of there this week.
Well, a lot of news and a lot of speculation. And let's start here. The fact is, at this point, the Leafs are not into a full teardown mode. They're not looking to dump out and go after Connor McDavid. But they are no longer looking to add pieces in an effort to save this season and try to make the playoffs. Deals they might have made in December, they're not looking to make right now. At the same time, they are looking to get some of their assets under control as they try to get their cap situation under control. Mike Santorelli, Cody Franson, two guys without contracts beyond the end of this year. Leafs looking to open negotiations with those two players and try to get them signed. Lots of speculation about the future of general manager Dave Nonis, of course, with the state of the Leafs. No real clear direction on what that will be, but there has been talk, would Brendan Shanahan take over at GM if Nonis was to be dismissed? The word is no chance. Brendan Shanahan will not be the future general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And finally, when other teams come calling to the Leafs and start asking for players, who's the number one player they ask for? Defenseman Morgan Riley.
Just in my general nerdiness of trying to look and see if you can make trades with the salary cap and all that, can't help but wonder if they really want big changes of scenery, like a Dion Phaneuf or Mike Richards thing, because L.A. might need new defensive help, Voinov out, Noz Sutter, Mike Richards, if maybe they're going to move him. I wonder if that's the kind of thing those two
You're
teams would look at.
You're a creative guy.
Sometimes. Mm. Just another thing, Chris Stewart, his name has been out a lot from Buffalo. Calgary is a team that's been linked to him for quite a bit. Another team we're hearing that may have interest in Chris Stewart are the Nashville Predators, who entered the weekend as the number one team in the National Hockey League.
We know Dan Carcillo is going to have an in-person hearing with the National Hockey League for his cross-check on Matthew Perreault. It's vicious cross-check on him. That doesn't necessarily mean he'll get more than five games. It means that Stephan Quintal has the option to give him more than 5 games. What we do know is Perreault is going to be out for a little while. The injury has not yet been disclosed, but I can tell you it's believed to be a torn ligament in his elbow.
A couple of other notes. Chris Tanev, Jim Benning went on Vancouver radio the other day and said that they're hoping to have more conversations with Tanev. It sounds like serious contract talks with him will begin this week. And also, Las Vegas is one of its first season ticket holders. Two-time World Series of Poker Player of the Year, Daniel Negreanu, who signed up and bought his season's tickets last night at a private event that they're holding for the Founders 50, an initial group of people that will help them launch the team. The season ticket real parade will begin on either February 9th or 10th, and they're hoping to get 10,000 tickets sold or 10,000 contributions made by the end of March. George Daniel Negreanu is all in on the Las Vegas NHL team.
Elliot Friedman, Damian Cox on Hockey Night in Canada. Tonight, a couple quick things. Let's just look at the scores. We won't give the goal scores because we only got a couple minutes here, and I'll let you whip through them, okay? You can do them all.
Okay, Gord, no problem. Games under progress. Coming up to the end of the first period in Los Angeles, the Ducks and the Kings are scoreless. That's after one right now. In San Jose, at the end of two periods of play, the Calgary Flames and the San Jose Sharks are tied at 3. By the way, it was 2-0 for Calgary after one period, so the Sharks have mounted a good comeback in that game, so a real good game going on. Earlier today, final scores, the Columbus Blue Jackets go into Boston and beat the Bruins 3-1. The Philadelphia Flyers defeat the Buffalo Sabres 4-3 in Buffalo. Great game in Montreal. I know the Islanders, I think, played last night against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Am I correct in that? So they may have been a little bit fatigued. They go down to defeat 6-4 to the Montreal Canadiens. So a lot of goals and action in that game. The visiting Carolina Hurricanes, who will pay a visit to the Air Canada Center on Monday night, go into Ottawa tonight and win 3-2. Nathan Gerbe with the game winner. By the way, the Hurricanes scored 2 third period goals to come from behind to win that game 3-2. Detroit defeats the Nashville Predators 5-2. Life without Pekka Rinne took on a reality check right off the get-go. The starting goaltender Carter Hutton was yanked after giving up 3 goals on his first 4 shots. The Tampa Bay Lightning in a great game in Tampa Bay in a shootout defeat the Colorado Avalanche 3-2. Scoring the shootout winner was Ryan Callahan. He also added a power play marker, goal number 15 in that affair. The Florida Panthers go down to defeat at home against the Edmonton Oilers in a shootout 3-2. Nail Yakupov with the shootout winner for the Oilers. The Dallas Stars in a barn burner. You called this game as being over long before it was, in fact, over. 5-4 was the final score. Washington mounted a serious comeback in that third period, but still go down to defeat to the Dallas Stars. So 5-4 Dallas over Washington. And then the other final is Minnesota defeating Arizona 3-1.
I knew it. I was clairvoyant there calling that one particular game, Washington-Dallas.
Wow. I brought us right to the end.
I know. 3-0 St. Louis Blues over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll be back on the air Monday. The Leafs come back home against the Carolina Hurricanes. Oz and I will be back with Leafs Nation postgame. Well, it's been a tough road trip. We do appreciate you listening, though, and trying to help us figure things out as we endeavor to go through Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelick, Mark Osborne, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Been listening to Leafs Nation Postgame with Gord Stelick and Mark Osborne. Brought to you by your local GTA Acura retailers. Visit yours today.